Ever wonder how artificial intelligence or 3D printing is used to solve medical problems? Or how research is discovering new ways to slow or even stop medical conditions we used to think of as untreatable? I'm Kathy Worzer. Listen to Tomorrow's Cure, a podcast where I interview experts from Mayo Clinic and other renowned organizations. What they describe may sound futuristic, but listen and you'll find out Tomorrow's Cure is already here. Find it now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's see if I can do this show with this guy. Hello, everyone. I'm Kimberly Adams. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense.
And I'm Sabri Benishore, in for Kai Rizdal. Thanks for joining us on the podcast and on the YouTube live stream. It is time for our weekly happy hour episode, Economics on Tap.
Yes, and before we get to the news and take our break and do our game and do the drinks, I have an introduction to make. I got a new cat, as everybody who's watching on the live stream sees. And everybody listening to the podcast can probably hear him purring. So, you know, I let my heart mend for a little while after Jasper died. And now I have... Yeah, Jasper died. Sorry, Sabri. You clearly did not know that.
God. No, I didn't know. Okay, well, what is this one's name?
This one is named Artax.
Oh, wait, is that from The Neverending Story? No.
That's yes, it is. What's Artax? And Kai is? Never would have gotten that if he were here. Okay, I can't do the show with this creature. All right, let's see if
he's so cute.
Knows how to position himself for the camera the way that Jasper did. Anyway, what are you drinking, Sabri?
Well, it was a toss-up between this very dark purple pre-workout that I got from the internet and a Skittles flavored energy drink, which I don't have the courage for that right now, but probably later.
I mean, if you're going out, you may as well start the energy boost.
What about you?
I am having some non-alcoholic red wine. I just didn't really feel like drinking for real today, and I'm hot, and so I've also got my water, and so just chilling today. Oh, please stop scratching that. Hey, quit. All right. New cat. He's only 6 months old, but he's like as big as Jasper was. He's massive. Wow. Anyway, what's your news, Sabri?
Okay, I thought I would keep it light today. Singapore has approved a list of 20 insect species that can be imported for consumption by people, but also animals. So it's 5 species of cricket, 3 types of locust, grasshoppers, 7 types of beetle larvae, including mealworms and giant rhino beetle larvae, and 2 types of moths, silkworms, for when you're feeling fancy, that's according to the IFL science website, and also honeybee larvae, which apparently are eaten. Anyway, so insects are a good source of protein, and they require many fewer, allegedly, resources to produce pound for pound than animals or many plants. And so... Yeah. So people, you know, make the argument that for climate's sake, we should be consuming insects. And I did actually find some cricket protein powder.
I was just going to ask that because I know you were Mr. Protein Shake Guy.
Yeah, I have not dared. I have not dared to try it.
I had a mealworm dish when I was in Mexico once, and wasn't a fan, but I did try it, and, you know, I feel like I will eventually be one of these people where as long as, like, I can't taste it and sense that it is what it is, I'll be fine with it. Like, if it's... you know, in some sort of hyper-processed food and they just use it as, like, the binding agent or whatever. It's, like, fine, you know, better than animals.
Yeah. I would agree with that. But it would have to be diluted, you know, or a topping or something. Like, pure cricket slurry, you know, even if it's protein powder, I'm not there yet. You know, I want to be.
You're not there yet.
There, but I'm not. So, what about you? What is your news?
Well, it's not as light. I mean, I feel like I've kind of gone out of my way to stay away from the Biden, should he or should he. Okay, I need to remove the bell from this creature before the next show because he is having just the time of his life over there. The Biden, will he or won't he, you know, politics stuff. But listeners of this show will recall that after the debate, I said what is going to matter is, unfortunately, what the donors do and what the folks down ballot in competitive races have to say. And we have been slowly hearing from the folks down ballot in the competitive races that they are extremely nervous. They are staying away from campaigning with Biden. Several of folks have called for him to step down. Some of his strongest supporters are the Democrats that are in reliably safe districts, whereas the others are more behind the scenes, kind of the whole party is freaking out. And so then when I saw the story in the New York Times today with the headline, donors to pro-Biden super PAC are said to withhold roughly $90 million. The New York Times is reporting that there are many donors, including, okay, I gotta take the call. You know what? Excuse me.
It's a nice ambiance. It's a nice little jingle song in the background.
All right.
Oh, he's so cute.
Now go play. It was just driving me nuts. Okay. No. All right. So as the New York Times is reporting, it said that the frozen contributions include multiple eight-figure commitments, according to people who spoke to the New York Times with anonymity because of the sensitivity of the situation. The decision to withhold such enormous sums of money is one of the most concrete examples of the fallout from Mr. Biden's poor debate performance at the end of June. And then the Washington Post had this story about that big fundraiser they did in Hollywood with that basically presaged or predicated, I should say, that predicated the George Clooney op-ed calling for him to step down. And I think that it's interesting to see all of this stuff coming out now, because one of the interesting things about the reporting is all of these people who are coming forward and saying, I saw it, but I didn't want to say anything. And everyone is now like, oh, because we all saw it and didn't say anything, that allowed the situation to get much worse than it may have been had everybody said something sooner. Anyway, I think what happens with the money is going to continue to be very interesting.
Yeah. You know, it's also interesting because, you know, in another world, right, you know, if the alignment of the money was opposed to, say, some upswelling of support he had in his base, this would be a terrible acrimonious conflict over the role of money in politics, right? But in this case, I think, if anything, there's alignment, most likely, between the base and the high-powered donors. And that's just going to be very interesting to watch go down.
I think the base is divided. I think there's a mix of people who would love to see another candidate but are afraid that the disruption might make it easier for Trump to win. Oh, Jason Perringer points out something from the NATO press conference that Biden did last night? Yeah, it was last night. Mm. And my girl, Asma Khalid, over at NPR, asked the question that I think was on so many people's minds, but she was the first I've heard ask it. And she asked Biden, she said, when you were running, you said you were going to be a bridge candidate to open the door for a new generation of leaders. What happened? And he said, oh, what happened was basically Trump. He said, you know, I'm the only one who can beat him and this, that, and the other. But yeah, That I had forgotten about that part of the campaign when he was originally running. He never promised to be a one-term president, but he certainly implied it at the time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is way too much politics for our show. Let us take a break, and then we're going to play around a half full, half empty, and that will come right after our lovely little music sting.
This podcast is supported by Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise flagship fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise flagship fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/smart. That's FUNDRISE.com/smart. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Odoo. Let's face it, nowadays, most companies have to rely on dozens of expensive, disconnected platforms to run their business. And even then, things can get a little, well, stressful. But with Odoo's all-in-one management software packed with a suite of fully integrated business applications, every process is streamlined, tasks are automated, and success is just a few clicks away. See how Odoo can take your business to the next level at Odoo.com. That's Odoo.com.
If you're a dedicated Make Me Smart listener, you'll probably love our weekly newsletter. Each Friday, we curate and share the stories you need to know. Plus, we even share a cocktail recipe or two. And if you sign up today, you'll gain access to a special treat, our Tunes on Tap summer playlist, with songs selected by Kimberly, Kai, and the whole Make Me Smart team to help you jam out for the rest of the summer. You can access the Tunes on Tap playlist at marketplace.org/playlist.
All right, we are back. It is time to play Half Full, Half Empty. We have another special guest today, Marketplace Tech producer Daniel Shin. Take it away, Daniel.
Hello, I'm here to incite non-political discourse, starting with the first headline here. Our Kristen Schwab and Bloomberg's Amanda Mull discuss this week retailers adopting more digital price tags in their stores so they can update their product prices in real time. Are you half full or half empty on digital price tags cluttering the shelves?
I thought that was a really interesting interview. And there was, you know, the person who Kristen interviewed was talking about how when they used to work in like a store or something, how they'd like print out the sheets of the sale prices and have to go around and put the stickers on in the olden days. And in that it saves people paper and time, I'm half full, but in that I also know it's probably going to help sort of more quickly drive up prices of some things, I'm a little skeptical. So I'm still going to go half full. I think it's going to save people some time and some stickies.
Yeah, I'm going to go half full only because of the sort of exhilaration of new technology, and fully asking asking whether we can before whether we should, just going on that. This is totally going to open the road to like surge pricing, like very very tailored pricing that is very tailored to supply and demand, much more so than now, which. I guess the thing that I'm curious about is I have no doubt that this will allow price increases very rapidly. What I do not know is if they will be as easy to come down as they are to go up digitally.
We said, this was about prices. What is it? It goes up like a rocket, falls like a feather or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
All right, what's the next one?
All right, next headline here. Our Kaylee Wells reported on how more kids want skincare products, typically for adults. We're talking anti-aging creams, gels, face masks, and we're talking about kids who are like 10 years old. Are you half full or half empty on what they're calling the Sephora kids phenomenon?
All the way empty. So empty.
They have nothing to... What? They have... How do you de-age a 10-year-old? No. Can we have some nice things, please? Like, also...
For
we
just grown-ups?
Yes. I would like the younger people to stay where they are so that my efforts to look younger bear fruit. I don't want a moving goalpost here.
Well, I'm empty more so because some of these products are like damaging to children's skin. They are designed for aging skin. And when you put that on like children face, it can harm it. I mean, I get so sad when I see these 20-year-olds on social media with all these Botox fillers. It's like, enjoy your saggy skin and wrinkles in your 30s and 40s, because that's not sustainable, friends. Anyway, so yeah.
Yes, empty. I would also like to amend my earlier comments to reflect my concern for the youth.
The children, as opposed to the completely self-serving first answer. That's fine, too. What's the next one?
All right, next headline. The Atlantic Sahil Desai had written something about how she landed a reservation in a very popular high-end restaurant by using a premium credit card, because apparently more restaurants are reserving tables for people with specific premium cards, like the Amex Platinum or the Chase Sapphire Reserve. Are you half full or half empty on using fancy credit cards to get a fancy restaurant reservation?
So I feel like I should offer a disclaimer here that I have absolutely done this.
I used
my fancy credit card to get a reservation at a restaurant here in D.C. where, like, it was usually, like, to get regular reservations, you have to book, like, 2 or 3 months out. And
how did you do it? You were just, like, you were on the phone or something, and you're like, I have an Amex. Okay.
No, The credit card like has a number that you call that has a concierge service, and they call the restaurant and they do make the booking for you. And so I was able to get it like within a couple of days as opposed to a couple of months. I felt a little guilty about it, but my uncle really loved it because he really wanted to try the restaurant. And I'm empty. Like, I just... It gives me the ick. I don't think it's nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are also apps, I think, it's an app. It's called Dorsha, where you can, like, even if the restaurant is, like, totally sold out, there are no openings, you will get an opening. But this is for, like, super rich people. And you have to have, like, a huge, enormous minimum to spend. Mm-hmm. To go do it. But I don't know. I mean, I'm going to say I'm half full on this because restaurants are having such a hard time. So if this is some new revenue stream for them, then great. However, if I find myself unable to get a seat at a restaurant because everyone has called their concierge credit card service, then I may change my tune.
Yeah, somebody was saying in the Discord that it's not different than being at an exclusive club or doing Fast Pass at an amusement park. And I don't know. I think I just really disliked how many spaces in our economy there are such clear delineations between the haves and the have-nots. And even when you're trying to spend your money to do something nice for yourself, you're reminded that you're still not spending enough money. So there's that. All right. That's kind of grim. Let's move on.
All right. Next topic is from Bloomberg, highlighting a recent copyright case where a social media influencer sued another influencer for ripping off their style and accusing them of copyright and dress infringement. Are you half full or half empty on potentially copywriting social media aesthetics and vibes?
Copying the vibes. That's a messy IP thing.
I'm half full on it because I just want release the influencers to battle themselves. I just want to pop the popcorn and watch. So I'm half full on this. I would also like to know if they won.
All right, it's kind of petty, but yeah, I'm half full for that exact same reason. I want to watch this go down. All right. Do we have a poll now?
Yes. By the way, there's no results on that case yet. But last one, the poll topic. Amazon has launched its own generative AI shopping assistant for Prime Day. Are you half full or half empty on AI shopping assistants?
That's interesting because from my perspective, from what I've seen so far, Amazon does everything except let you comparison shop. And the main thing that I would want to ask an AI is, what is the cheapest version of this product that I can get? Because you can't really, really do a sort like that with Amazon, right? You know, they'll give you people who sponsor them.
And like, what is the cheapest version that is still a real version and not a knockoff is actually well reviewed? And Amazon already doesn't make that easy. They promote what they want to sell, whether it's their own branded product or the people who have paid for better positioning on the page. And so I don't know that I'd be more confident that this version of it would do any better as opposed to more effectively route me to the product they want me to buy.
Yeah. That said, I mean, it will be cool to see, right? I mean, I'm very interested to see how it works and what it's like. I'm just curious as to whether it will answer the question that I will have.
Honestly.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, that should be. We got 135 votes. Let's go ahead and close out the poll. Obviously, I think we're both pretty half empty about it. And so is most everybody else. Half empty, 77%. Half full, 22%, with a grand total of 140 votes.
All right.
Okay. That is it for us today. We're going to be back on Monday. Until then, you can send us your comments, your questions, and suggestions. We are at 508-UB-SMART, and you can email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org. Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergseeker, and today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe.
The team behind Our Friday Game is Emily McCune, Jamila Huxtable, and Antoinette Brock. Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcasts. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital and on demand.
People said they wanted to say goodbye to the kitten. Say bye, Artex.
Huh? Oh.
Some of the toughest moments we'll experience in life often come with the hardest financial decisions. Like how much to spend when your pet is dying, or what to do if you uncover a loved one's financial secrets after they've passed.
It's like having this albatross that's like monkey on your back that you don't want amongst everything else.
I'm Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable, a podcast from Marketplace. This season, we've got a wide range of stories about life and how money messes with it, including the unexpected ways money can shape our journeys through loss and grief. Listen to This Is Uncomfortable wherever you get your podcasts.